for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, May the 26th, 2017. Jeremy Gee is the speaker of the service teaching on Pain, God's Alarm System.
Jerry, come. Lord, let your Holy Spirit fall on Jerry and words be marrow to our bones, strength to our inner being, strength to our bones.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Jerry. And blessed are my eyes because they see. Because I'm a disciple. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. Blessed are your eyes because you see. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Yes.
How many of you came with pain in your body anywhere? Put your hand up. Okay, praise God. Well, this message is called Pain, God's Alarm System. You know, my dad in 1976, and of course it wouldn't be too pretty now, but told me that I could go down to the Cadillac place and buy me any car I wanted, and he would pay for it. And that was the most beautiful car I've ever had. I mean, it was white, it had gold wheels. I mean, I even bought the fancy, beautiful wheels. Anyway, I love that car so much, but I wouldn't drive it around anybody that I thought would reject me because I had it. So when I go to church, I'd park it way down the street where nobody would see me. That's pride. Just as much as if I'd have drove it right up in front of the church and wanted to show off. It's still a spirit of pride. But anyway, when I would have the gear shift would be a little bit out of whack, my car would register system problem. So whenever you have a pain in your body, you have a system problem. And you know, you can go to the world for answers and they can patch you up, medicate you, shift things around, help you hang in there. But actually the pain medication has been proven over a length of time actually causes more pain. And even ibuprofen can cause your body to be destroyed. I mean, it's harmful for your body. And so God has a remedy for our pain. And it said, and he says in Ecclesiastes 11:10, so remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. So anytime you've let the sun go down on your anger, it says you've given a foothold to the devil according to Ephesians 4:26. Anytime you don't deal with sin by sundown. You know, you may not feel pain in your body, but anytime you violate God's word, there's vexation in your heart. And it may not manifest for 50 years later, but because God didn't deliver us from everything at once. But whenever you have a pain in your body, you have a system problem, and you need to look to the spiritual root to why you have the problem. And so I'm going to pray. So, Father, we come to you in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your word, that you sent your word to heal us. And, Lord Jesus, you are the living word of God. And we thank you, Lord, that when we read your word, we create your atmosphere of healing and in your presence because, Lord, you are the word. And, Lord, we thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven. You watch over your word to perform it. The leaf withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Lord, it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what you think. And, you know, I want to add this, too. I'm going to keep praying here in just a minute. But an antichrist spirit, have you ever told somebody the truth and they say, yeah, but that is an antichrist spirit. Because if you're somebody that is for Christ, you want to know what his word says, right? And so, Lord, I'm going to pray now. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray that you remove the Antichrist spirit from our hearts and our lives. Lord, we ask you to cause us to love truth, embrace truth, speak truth, and hide the truth in our hearts. Lord, you said that your word is, you said, Lord, your word is spirit and life. Your word is truth. We thank you that your word will cause us to know the truth so that we can be set free. Thank you that you said if we abide in your word, we're truly your disciples, and we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And Lord, I pray that each person will know the truth that sets them free, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we give you honor, we give you glory, we give you praise. Lord, you're the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Lord, we bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over this camp, over Merrill, over Barbara, over Patty, Cabby, Linda, Sandy, over Rick, over Dan, Crystal, all those beautiful children, over all of our lives, over the lives of our families. In Jesus' name, we send it over our president in the name of Jesus. We send every curse and assignment ritual back on the enemy seven times over. We declare the boulders they roll will roll back and crush them. The nets they hide their own feet will be caught. The pits they dig, they'll fall in it. And we say, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. And Lord, we ask you to save every person that is trying to do us harm. We ask you, Lord, for the fear of the Lord, we forgive all of them. We ask you, Lord, for their salvation. We ask you to bless them with repentance, the fear of the Lord, and the conviction of sin. And I loose over this meeting the fear of the Lord, the conviction of sin, a spirit of repentance to be poured out upon us in the name of Jesus. And we bind the strong man over every person. We bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. In Jesus' name. You know, when Meryl spoke in tongues, the thought came, well, there's going to be somebody that's going to interpret that. And you know what? His praise and worship was the interpretation of that. That's what the Lord made. His praise and all the praise that broke loose from his mouth after that message in tongues was the interpretation of that prophet, that tongue that he spoke. In Jesus' name, what a worshiper you are, Meryl. I love to hear you worship. That, you know what? That's not a show thing. That's something he does every day. And I thank the Lord for you, Meryl. Thank the Lord for you, Barbara. If you're listening in, we love you. And Lord, we just pray that every person here will be delivered from pain when they leave here in the name of Jesus. Ecclesiastes says, so remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. Now that word is true. Vexation means sorrow. It means grief. It means anger. It means provocation. It means hurt. And it means idolatry. And I can thank God. I praise God. And I'm not saying this to glorify myself. But let me tell you, to teach, you can be free of pain. I can tell you, at my age, I do not have one pain in my body except the thing that God has healed in my eyes, and I'm waiting for the manifestation of it. And you know what the revelation is? The finished work of Calvary, you don't have to do anything, add anything to it. He did it at the cross. And of course, we have to deal with our sin, but the revelation came to me. I'm thinking, Lord, there's something I'm missing. And then what I was missing was, you don't have to do a thing to have it. So, praise God. So next time I expect to be much better. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And so, you know, Job said in Job 33, verse 19, it says that God uses pain to bring us up out of the pit so that he might enlighten our eyes with the light of life. My daddy used to say it this way, when you have pain or you have a problem, the Lord's just tapping you on the shoulder to show you that he's trying to show you something. And so even though he didn't know that was a scriptural principle, it is. God is going to wants to show you something. He has something to teach you through everything you go through. But don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Ask him. He said, you have not because you ask not. You know, a lot has to do with where the pain is. Through soul ties, you can have pain. And I believe there are scriptural reasons why we have pain, and I'm going to share some scriptures that have to do with pain. But I believe through soul ties, people carry pain. If you were physically abused, verbally abused, mentally abused, sexually abused, emotionally abused, you carry pain in those areas. If somebody beats you up, for example, with words or through physical violence, and you let the sun go down on it without forgiving them by sundown, you carry their hands or their body parts wherever you were hit through a soul tie. And through a soul tie, you can have the physical problems, the emotional problems, the mental problems, the sexual problems, the familiar spirits, the demons of whoever you have a soul tie with. You can be connected to a soul tie like a string, like a rope, like a cable, like a chain, depending on the depth of sin. But I have seen so many more people heal through breaking soul ties than any other thing. And a soul tie is a connection in the spirit realm. You cannot see a soul tie with your human eye, but there's many, many scriptures that talk about soul ties. Even, you know, Jonathan and David had a good soul tie. It says the heart of Jonathan was knitted to the heart of David. There's many reasons why you have a soul tie. But anyway, we're not talking. You can get, you can go to LHBC online and you can pull that up, or I think there's probably a CD back there where I did on soul ties. You can go on a Mega Man radio and look up in the archives, and there's, soul ties. How many of you have listened to the, Randy and Carla and I on Omega Man? Oh my goodness, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We keep promoting Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Bless the Lord. Because I don't know of a place anywhere in America or in the world you can get greater deliverance than right here. Wow. Carla and I have been coming. I've been coming since 97. I don't know, Randy, when did you start coming?
2005.
And Carla started coming about
2001.
Anyway, every time we go home, we were talking about this yesterday, every time we go home, we're different. We haven't missed a camp, I don't think, since then. And every time I go home, it's different. I can tell you 99% of the deliverance I've gotten really has been just lining myself with the Word of God, and it's new devil. Give yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. But there are reasons why you have pain. There's a spiritual root to your pain. You know, you're a spiritual garden, and if you, for example, in a physical garden, if you plant corn, a kernel of corn, you get a stalk of corn with bunches of ears of corn with hundreds of kernels of corn. You get the same thing you plant, more than you plant, later than you plant. So if you let the sun go down on your anger, you planted a seed of pain. And so you have to break a soul tie. And a lot depends on where the pain is. I've seen people's back heal when they've repented of backsliding is the main reason to back problems. But when they've had heavy loads put on their back and they've forgiven the people that have put loads in the spirit. You don't see the loads that we put on each other, but we put heavy loads on people. And I've seen people heal when we broke soul ties and cut the people off their back. Just last week, I had a lady call me that had heard me on the radio, and she said, I have a pain in my side. And I said, did you ever have to carry your brothers and sisters? She had to carry my mother and daddy, too. And so, see, she was trained up to carry people. And so the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. So she was trained up to carry people. And, you know, the hip is a picture of, it's a picture of nurture. I pictured my daddy holding me on his hip. And that's a precious picture. It's a picture of a daddy. I watched Dan hold his little children on the hip. It says in Isaiah, and I don't know exactly which scripture because I hadn't planned to use the scripture, but I'll tell you what it says. In the Amplified Bible, it says that God wants to pick you up on his hip and throttle you, lovingly bouncing you up and down on his maternal knees. Now, that's a picture of God the Father wanting to pick you up. And so that parents are supposed to carry their kids on the hip. They're not supposed to have to carry their parents and carry their brothers and sisters. You see, when a child is trained up like that, it's like because they missed their childhood, they don't know they're missing it because that's all they've ever known, is there's bitterness there because they've missed their childhood. And so they put the government on this little girl's, this woman's shoulders. The scripture says that the government was on Jesus' shoulder. He's the wonderful counselor, Almighty God. The government was on his shoulders. And so when I led her to forgive, to break soul ties with her mother and daddy, and to take the government off her shoulders and put it on Jesus' shoulders, her hip was healed. And so another time I had a pastor lady call me, and she said, do you have any insight? She said, I'm going to have hip surgery. And she said, I said, well, did you ever, do you ever have to carry your brothers and sisters on the hip? She said, oh, yeah, all the time. How do you know that? I said, well, the Holy Spirit told me. And I said, now you're a pastor. You've been trained up to carry people. Now you're carrying the whole congregation on your hip. She said, you don't even have to pray for me. I'm already healed. And so there's another lady that was my secretary, told me about 3 or 4 months ago, and she had to carry her mother. And so that tells me if you had to carry authority, you get married, you carry your authority figure, you carry your husband. Because you're going to carry people, because it sets a default, like a default on a computer. A default on a computer, a computer is set to write, use any, with a certain font, and you can type a letter using, and changing the font, but when you go to another letter, it kicks it back to the way the factory set it. And how we're trained up is how the factory sets us. And we're trying to overcome these things, push through these things, and we can't push through them because it's a default that's been set, and it can only be broken when you forgive. And you know, your parents did the best they knew how. And I want to say this, whenever I say forgive your parents, a lot of people think I'm into psychology, I'm trying to tell you to blame your parents. And I want you to hear this. We don't forgive our parents because we blame them. We ask God to forgive us. We forgive them for their poor stewardship, but we ask God to forgive us for our wrong responses to them. And that's why we're repenting. Because we let the sun go down on our anger. We didn't know that we had to forgive by sundown. And so we're not blaming our parents when we forgive them. But let me tell you, they set a foundation for our lives, and we're trying to break these defaults, and only God can break them as we forgive. And anyway, this lady that worked for me as a secretary about a year or so ago, she said, I'm getting ready to have hip surgery. And I said, well, did you have to carry your, and I knew she had to carry her mother. I said, you're probably still carrying your husband. And I said, anyway, you're going to have to ask God to show you every time you start carrying people and repent. And anyway, I saw her last week and I said, how's your hip? She said, it's amazing. It's almost well. And let me tell you, I told this lady, I said, if you go back to carrying anybody, you're going to have the same pain come back. And you know, you don't know when you're in distress. Recently, I asked the Lord to show me, Lord, I don't know when I'm stressing out. Show me, and I'll repent. Stress is one of the roots to glaucoma. It's one of the roots to high blood pressure, is stress. And anyway, so God doesn't want us stressing out. He said, be anxious for nothing. It's not an option. It's a command. And over 344 times in the Word of God, God says, fear not. And you say, well, I'm not afraid, but your actions show you are. You can have sexual pain. I remember a lady up in Michigan, she said, you know, I had surgery on my private parts, and I don't remember what it was, but she said, I've been in pain ever since down there. I said, have you ever been in sexual sin? She said, oh, yes. And so I said, well, forgive, ask God to forgive you for every sexual relationship you've ever been in, and when you're through, tell me, because I don't want to know the details of what you did or what happened. And so when she was through, she told me, and I led her in a prayer to repent of adultery and fornication, because see, through sexual sin, they were still through a soul tie still up inside of her. When she broke soul ties, the pain totally left her body. I've seen people have arthritis in their feet, bitterness over your past. You think you've got a raw deal. And your hands have to do, what have you done with your hands? Have you sinned with your hands? Have you baked people a cake and blessed them with your hands? Have you slapped somebody upside the head with your hands? Have you done perverted things with your hands? You know what? Do a word study on hands and see what all the things that have been done with your hands. And repent. Bitterness in your body causes arthritis. And so I've seen all kinds of people healed of all kinds of things through breaking soul ties. A lot depends on where it is. If it's your hand, you know, with a broken heart, you've got pain in your heart because your heart's been broke. Who broke your heart? Who abused you physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually? Because you still have a soul tie if you have not forgiven them by sundown. And you can say, well, I've already forgiven everybody. Well, you've got to specifically forgive for the specific reason why you were hurt. Another lady in a prayer group said, Jerry, she said, I fell the other day. And she said, and my face has hurt, had pain in my face ever since. And so I said, well, has anybody ever slapped you in the face? And she said, no. Later she found out that girls in high school, when she was 13 years old, they slapped her in the face. She let the sun go down on her anger. And 50 years later, she was wondering why she thought that she had pain in her face because she fell. And when she forgave them, she was totally healed. And so I believe that that's the main reason for your pain. Somebody's hurt you. Somebody has abused you. Somebody has spoken evil of you. And you have to go back and ask the Holy Spirit to show you every incident of where you were hurt, you were brokenhearted, where you were grieved. Another man came and he said, my arms, he said, I'm a carpenter and my arms hurt me so bad. And so he said, I said, did anybody ever hurt your arms? He said, my brothers used to take me by the arms and they would hurt my arms. And he was throwing up this black stuff. And he said, and my stomach has been upset. And so I said, and I've watched little boys play with other little boys on a parking lot or on a playground and how they hit each other in the private park. I led him to repent, broke soul ties, and his arms were totally healed. And so that's how you've got to remove pain from your heart. But there are some scriptural reasons, too, and I want to share with those with you. But the best the world can do is help you manage that pain. It's really putting a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem. And God wants to heal us when we meet the conditions. And he's made a provision for us at Calvary. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 3 and 4, it says, he was despised and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows, which means pain, and acquainted with grief, which means sickness, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs, our sicknesses, he himself bore, and our sorrows, our pain, he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him not, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And it goes on to say, by his wounds we were healed at Calvary. And the New Testament confirms this in at least two places. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might, number one, die to sin, Number two, live to righteousness. And number three, by his wounds you're healed. So when you're wanting to be healed, you have to always examine, is there sin in your life? Is there unforgiveness in your life? Because through unforgiveness, you're turned over to the tormentors, which is the demons that inflict pain. It's the pain of disease. In Matthew, it says, Matthew 8 is another place it confirms. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were ill, in order that what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. And so you can see all through the New Testament, a third of the New Testament is on casting out demons. Jesus told the disciples, the last thing in Matthew 28, he said, go into the world, preach the gospel, and teach men to do all that I've told you to do. You go to Matthew 10 and other places in the New Testament, and what he taught them to do was heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead. And I believe we're not raising the dead because there's still too much pride in us, too much that God wants to teach us. And so I believe before we leave this earth, the saints will be raising the dead. I believe we're going to go out in a blaze of glory because of what Jesus did for us. He's not wanting the church to go out defeated or overcome. God wants us to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. Deborah was given scriptures, you're not a loser. You're more than a conqueror through him that loves you. We're more than a conqueror. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. No weapon formed against us will prosper in the name of Jesus. And the scripture says when demons or foreigners hear our voice, it says they come trembling out of their fortresses in Jesus' name. And so let God be true and every man be a liar. And you know, many people that are godly people die believing God's going to heal them of their pain or their sicknesses, and they go ahead and die. It's not because they don't love the Lord. But the Bible says, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. And it goes on to say, because they've rejected knowledge. In another place, it says that my people are perished for the lack of knowledge. The knowledge is the truth that sets me free. Now, you can be ignorant of God's word, which is most of the time. We're ignorant of God's word. We don't know what God's word says. That's why it's so important that we read God's word. And so, but also, there's another kind of person that rejects what God's word says. And the Bible says he perishes because he rejects knowledge. So don't reject the truth that sets you free, because it is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by him. And the scripture says that he sent his word to heal you. He didn't send folks. Folks help you hang in there. God wants to heal you of every pain, everything that afflicts you. And so, and because of the doctrines of demons, we've been taught that to substitute God's remedy for healing for a worldly remedy that just helps us hang in there or even kills us or even brings us into greater bondage. A lot of times people become drug addicts because of the drugs. When my youngest son, who's in heaven now, who lived a homosexual lifestyle, when he would come home when he was 9 years old, he had migraine headaches. And I had known people that became addicted to drugs, and I didn't want that to happen. So he would come in, and I would put his head in my lap, and I would start. I didn't even know I was doing deliverance, but I was doing deliverance over him. And he would go to sleep like he was drugged with medication, and he wouldn't wake up till the next morning just because of prayer. And he never, praise God, never became a drug addict, even though he had lived a homosexual lifestyle and died of AIDS in 1989. But praise God, he's in heaven. I thank the Lord. I have two sons. My oldest son is my pastor and such a godly man. He's been a joy to my life his whole life. But my youngest son was, one walked around with a halo, the other one walked around with a pitchfork. Anyway, he's in heaven. Bless his heart. When he he moved to New York City when he was 25 years old. And I was really, I didn't even want to see him when he came home. And I just, I thought I didn't even want to see him. And he called me and he said, Mom, he said, I'm sorry you feel like a failure because of me. Mom, I've tried to change. And I tell you, that broke my heart. From then on, we were friends. I just would meet him for lunch and just love him. I said, you're going to go to hell if you don't repent. But anyway, I turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his soul would be saved. And I should have added, but devil, you won't kill him. But I didn't know to do that. That was hindsight. But I can tell you, it brought him to repentance. And somebody asked him, Todd, if you could live or die, what would you want to do? He said, I want to go be with Jesus. Todd, what's your favorite verse? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good that I was afflicted because now I keep his word. So praise God, I'll see him again.
Amen.
And so thank God. And so we substitute God's remedy for healing for a cheap substitute. The Bible says a prudent person sees the evil and he hides himself. That means a prudent person watches his path and he hides himself. It says in Proverbs 14:18, the prudent man, the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The knowledge is the truth that sets me free. Proverbs 13:16 says, every prudent man acts with knowledge. Proverbs, I believe, 24 says, through knowledge a house is... through knowledge increases power. If you want more power with God, you need to read God's word and find out what God's word says. Proverbs 14:18 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. And so rather than just hang in there and go to the world for answers, we need to understand what's going on in my life. God, what are you trying to teach me? Where did the vexation come in? When did the pain start? Who abused me? Who hurt me? Who broke my heart? Who twisted my arm? Who slapped me in the face? Wherever your pain is, it has to, a lot has to do with where the pain is. If you don't see anything, look up all the scriptures on faith. Look up all the scriptures on legs, arms, different body parts. Symptoms. Proverbs 14:15 says, the prudent man considers his steps. Proverbs 18:15 says, the mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. That means I'm seeking God's knowledge. I'm not seeking the world for answers. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, the prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but if the foolish, they go on and pay the price. They go on and suffer for it. The scripture also says, you help a wise man and he loves you. You help a fool and he'll hate you. So I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a fool or are you a wise person? I tell you, if somebody gives me the truth, I don't care who it comes from. If it comes from a two-year-old, I love the truth, and I thank God for that.
Yeah.
Because it's the truth that sets me free. My deliverance, most of the deliverance I've gotten is just through lining my life with the Word of God. And I'm still a work in progress. There's so many things wrong with my life. The more I walk on with God, the more I realize what a mess I am. So it's not a pride thing anymore. I thank God he saved me. And so, but I want to keep on pursuing God so that the day I leave this earth, I'll be closer to God than I am today. 3 John 1, 2 says, beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Your soul is your thought life, your psyche. And so as you align your thoughts with the Word of God, healing will come. There'll be no healing, no prosperity until you your soul prospers. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get a prospering soul by listening to these TV evangelists. Because it's nickels, dimes, noses, and numbers. And you know if it's of the Lord. If they're teaching you to repent of your sin, you know it's of the Lord. If they're teaching you that without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord, you know it's the Lord. But many of these false prophets are into all this flaky, drunken mess, And let me tell you something, it's not of the Lord. It's the unholy spirit, not the Holy Spirit. And so don't sit under teaching that's not conforming you to the image of Christ. The Bible says the teaching of the wise is a tree of life that one might avoid the snares of death. Praise God. He wants rivers of living water to come forth. And so our health and prosperity will be in proportion to a prospering soul. The more excellent way is to look for the spiritual root of what's been planted back there that's caused the pain. And healing comes as we align ourselves with the Word of God. Deuteronomy 28 says sickness is a curse. Proverbs 26:2 says like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without a cause cannot light. And let me tell you, pain is a curse. Sickness is a curse. His eye problems are a curse. God wants to break the curse. Demons carry out curses. Yeah. Holy angels carry out blessings. Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. And we're kings and priests. And so some of the scriptures, some of the things that Word says about prayer, in addition to soul ties, let me find the scriptures here and leave some of that out. Spiritual adultery, and you say, to be a spiritual adulterer is to pray a prayer for Jesus and our heart goes after other lovers. You know, we can love food more than we love the Lord. We can go, you know, there's a time in my life I'd get around food and forget God. And I had to say, Lord, when I get around food, don't let me forget you. So it's the idolatry of food, the idolatry of relationships, wanting somebody to love you, wanting somebody to accept you, wanting someone to value you. That can be idolatry. You know it's an idol when it makes you mad when you don't get it. Or when you fear you'll lose it if you have it, or if you don't have it, you fear you won't get it, then that's idolatry. And so spiritual adultery and leading others to play the harlot, which if we are in spiritual adultery, we're spiritual harlots. And let me tell you something, that all of us have committed spiritual adultery, every last one of us. It's something that we have to repent of. Just ignorance, but thank God for His Word that teaches us different. And there was a king, and I believe it was Jehoram, in 2 Chronicles 21:19, it says, because he led Israel into committing adultery. It says, now it came about in the course of time, and at the end of 2 years, that his bowel came out because of sickness, and he died in great pain, and his people made a fire for him as they did for his fathers. The next thing is wickedness. And you may not be wicked, but you know it says in Matthew 18, Jesus told Peter, if you don't forgive, you're wicked. You wicked slave. Remember when he was given telling the parable of the Lord who had two servants, one who owed him about $10 million, one who owed him about $18, and he wouldn't forgive, and so the servants went and told the king. The king said, you wicked slave. I forgave you all that debt and you didn't forgive others. He said, so I'm going to turn you over to the tormentors. Tormentors are demons that inflict pain. I want to ask you a question. Are you being tormented every day? You're going to have to forgive. Job 15, because of wickedness. 15:20, the wicked man writhes in pain all his days, and numbered are the years stored up for the ruthless. You know, pain can come down the generations through having wicked forefathers. If you have a forefather that's in pain, and he lets the sun go down on it, he don't deal with it, he goes to the next generation. It just keeps on looping until somebody stands up in the bloodline and takes accountability for it and puts it under the blood of Jesus. You know, somebody can put $1 million in your bank account, and if you don't write a check on it, it does you no good. And Jesus did more than give you $1 million. He gave you inheritance in Him. And if we don't appropriate what he did for us, it does us no good. The next thing is forgetting the God of your salvation. Isaiah 17, verse 10 through 11 says, "For you've forgotten the God of your salvation and have not remembered the rock of your refuge. Therefore you plant delightful plants and set them with vine slips to a strange God. In that day you plant it, carefully fence it in, and in the morning you bring forth seed to blossom. But the harvest will be a heap in that day of sickliness and incurable pain." And it's incurable until you go to Jesus for it. You can go and have them do all kinds of pain management clinics and do all kinds of stuff, but it's in, the world cannot heal it. If it's a curse and God sent it, which he does send these things, and it, you might find it's hard to believe, but read Exodus 23, read Deuteronomy 7, you can read Exodus 15, and many other places in the Bible, and you see that God sends it. He sends the tormentors when you don't forgive. He puts you in a spiritual prison when you don't forgive. And you have the sun go down on your anger. The next thing is not believing on, not believing or listening to his voice. Jeremiah 6, verse 19 through 24 says, "Hear, O earth, behold, God said." Now, who's doing this? "I am bringing disaster on this place, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words, and for my law they have rejected it. We have heard the report of it. Our hands are limp. Anguish has seized us, pains as if a woman in childbirth." And you see, God sends these things when we violate his word. The next thing is, which all of this is idolatry. Jeremiah, because if you let the sun go down in your anger and you don't deal with your issues at the throne of grace, and there's been many things that have happened to all of y'all over your lifetime, but thank God he don't show us all these things at once, but he'll use the pain to show you what's next. He'll use problems in your circumstances to show you what's next, what he wants to deal with next. And he's showing you, not because he's mad at you particularly, unless you're deliberately rebellious, but he wants to show you, so it's a part of the sanctification process of working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Jeremiah 30, verse 15 says, "Why do you cry over your injury? Your pain is incurable because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. I have done these things," God said. You can read that also in Deuteronomy 32, one of the last verses of 32. God says, "I'm the one that heals and I'm the one that makes you sick." That's in Deuteronomy 32. Somebody look up that verse. Randy, look up that verse in Deuteronomy. It's the very end of Deuteronomy, and read that if you will.
32.
It's one of the last verses at the end of Deuteronomy 32. "Should I the Lord bring..." Or who are they? Do you hear it, Carla?
"Or is not a bad thing to you because it is your life, and through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land which you go on."
That's not it. New American Standard Version. It's after you, it talks about the vine of Sodom. "And I'll have compassion on you when I see that your strength is gone." It's after that. Okay, if anybody finds that, we'll holler at me, okay?
I found it.
Okay.
I think it's 36.
Okay.
"It's a little bit different version. For the Lord will judge people and have compassion for his servants when he sees that your power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he will say, where are your gods, your rocks, and whom they trust you? Who ate the fat of your sacrifices and drank the wine of your drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be..."
A little bit louder.
Okay. I'll be so.
Keep reading.
Okay. "For For now that I am he, and there is no God but me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there one who can deliver from my hand.
Okay, and that's all through the Word of God, not just the Scriptures. And, you know, Jesus told the, he told the people in Luke, he said, you foolish and, say, you foolish men who has not believed all the prophets have spoken. And in 1 Timothy 3:15, it says, all Scripture is given for reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God might be fully equipped. You all know that Scripture. So, I mean, I could teach all day to show you that the Old Testament and the New Testament, the same things are in both places, and the Old is just as valuable as the New. And the disciples didn't even have the New Testament when they taught the Word of God. Jesus taught us the book of Isaiah when he was teaching. Rebellion is another one. Lamentations 1:12 says, is it nothing to you who pass this way? Look and see if there's any pain like my pain, which was severely dealt out to me, which the Lord inflicted on me in the day of his fierce anger. Being a worldly church member, which 90% of church members are worldly. You can't tell the difference between a worldly person and a church member. Jesus called them hypocrites. Their religious people are still around. The Pharisees are still around.
Yeah.
You can't tell a Pharisee anything. They clean up the outside, but they don't clean up the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And disciples are people that let God discipline them.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally believe the Word of God teaches if you're not a disciple, you're not even going to heaven. It's a disciplined one. It says in Hebrews, if you don't receive discipline, Carla shared this last night, and it was a good insight what she shared, but it says if you're not, all people are subject to God's discipline if they receive Jesus as Savior. But if you don't let God discipline you to correct your mistakes and your errors, you're a bastard. You're not even you're not even legitimate. And so that's why God wants to use your troubles that you go through to purify you. Another thing is being a Philistine or having a Philistine spirit. The Philistines were wallowers. And that means, are you a person that wallows in your self-pity? They were people that didn't want to get fixed. They just wanted to wallow in it. They were warlike. Are you a person that wants to fight all the time? Uncircumcised of heart. God tells us to circumcise our heart. They were uncircumcised. They were God's enemies. The Scripture says if you, those who pretend obedience hate the Lord. They were intensely religious. They celebrated in the house of their idols. They worshiped Dagon, Ashtoreth, Ishtar, the goddess of propagation. And they had a sanctuary to Beelzebub, the prince of demons. So you might not be a Philistine, but you've come out of a generation of Philistines. And that's in Zechariah 9:5. It says, Ashlakon, which was a city of the Philistines, will see it and be afraid. So you see fear. Gaza, a Philistine city, two, will writhe in great pain. Also Ekron, a Philistine city, for her expectation has been confounded. Moreover, the king will perish from Gaza, and Ashlakon will not be inhabited. Another thing is worshiping the beast. You know, there's going to be a time when we're going to have to choose to worship the beast, the Antichrist, or we're going to have to choose Jesus. And if we don't choose the beast, we can be killed or beheaded or whatever. And that's what the world order is trying to do right now, to overthrow our president, because he's trying to put a monkey wrench in all of their one world order plans.
Yeah.
And he might be an instrument, who knows, but regardless, it's the one world order, that's the establishment, that is trying to overthrow the president right now, that owns the media. And so there'll be a time when we have to choose, are we going to worship the beast or are we going to worship Jesus? And let me tell you something, if you worship the beast, you'll go straight to hell. If you take their mark, you're going to go straight to hell. I have people say, I have a kennel, and they'll say, do you microchip your dog, your puppies? I say, no, that's too much like the chip they're wanting to put in people.
Yeah.
If you take that mark or that chip, you'll not go to heaven. But also, we worship the beast through our idols. Every place you have an idol, you're worshiping the beast. Anything that you put before the Lord Jesus Christ is idolatry, worshiping the beast. And it says in Revelation 16:10, and the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. So, you know, you might not have worshiped the beast, but we've come out of generations of people that have worshiped the beast. And so we could be experiencing pain. So when you're trying to get your pain healed, examine soul ties of people that hurt you, but also do generational things. Wicked forefathers, deal with it. Break generational curses. The scripture says the sins of the fathers pass on to the children to the third and fourth generation. But his loving kindness goes to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his word. Unforgiveness. You're turned over to the tormentors when you don't forgive. Job 5:18 says, for he inflicts pain and he gives relief. He wounds and his hands also heal. Proverbs 16:25 says, there's a way that seems right as a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Are you living after your own ideas, your own plan? Let me tell you something. We better put our own ideas aside and get in the Word of God, because that's what's going to heal us. You know, grief is also, we grieve. One of the definitions of vexation is grief and sorrow. But we grieve over lots of things. We grieve over our own failures. We grieve over the failure of others to live up to our expectations. We grieve over divorce, over being abandoned. You know, I went through a divorce, and honestly, if I'd had a choice between somebody blowing my brains out and me divorcing, I'd have said, kill me. I said, Lord, if you're not going to kill me, kill him, because I don't want to be a divorcee. I really pray that. And he's still alive and we're good friends, okay? Obviously, God didn't answer that prayer. But I was so humiliated. I didn't want to be a divorcee. Anyway, we grieve over divorce, over being abandoned. You know, you can be emotionally abandoned if your parents work all the time. They might be there, but they emotionally abandon you, physically abandoned, not being nurtured, loved, or cared for, being sexually, verbally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically abused, having to be the mama, daddy, caretaker of the family. We grieve over that, being rejected, being controlled. And you know, we all have family members that reject us if you're walking after God, or they got a wall up against you. You have to let it go. When it says be still and know that I'm God, it means just let it all go and just leave them to God. And you know, I want to encourage you with this word. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, one of his disciples came and they said, Lord, your mother and brothers are outside. And Jesus said, his mother and brothers are those that hear the word of God and obey it. Can I tell you, that's who your brothers and sisters are, is those who hear the word of God and obey it. Being rejected, being controlled is witchcraft. You know, I can just have you come up to me or just talk to me just a little bit, and I can tell you if you were a controller or if you were being controlled. Never allowed to be who you are. You know, I know husbands that are living their wife's life through them. And instead of living the life that God wants them to live, of who he created them to be, they're trying to please somebody, and they're living after their wife or their husband. Not that you're, I'm not talking that you're not supposed to love them and one be one flesh, but God wants you to be who you are, who He created you to be. He don't want you to be living someone else's dream. He wants you to be on the potter's wheel, submitted to what He wants. Not being protected. You know, our children can cause us grief. You know, I can thank the Lord for my son Todd, because had I not had him, I would have never had a prayer life. I got in the Word looking for answers to his problems. And I thank the Lord that He saved him. So Proverbs 10:1 says, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. That's vexation. Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to him who bore him. So we need to repent of bitterness and sorrow and grief over what our children have done. A lot of times our children are just doing what we did, because we're reaping what we sow. So if you've got wayward children, and you know you may not have done those things, but you might be married, their daddy might or their mother might have been those things. And so in healing, I've seen so many people. I had a man once tell me, he said, my daughter, she's doing this, she won't pay her bills, she got a drug problem, she's shacking up. I said, did you ever do it? He said, oh dear God, I did everything she's doing. Anyway, he repented, and he said she changed. And so always examine if your kids are not doing what you think. A lot of times if your daughter-in-law or your son-in-law says something that bothers you, ask the Lord, did I do it? A lot of times something, I hear somebody say something that hurts somebody, and it's just like a knife in my heart, and the Lord said, you did it too. And sometimes people are mirroring what God wants to change in us. Grief can waste away our body and waste away our eyes. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 6:7. My eye has wasted away with grief. It has become old because of all my adversaries. And our soul can be weeping because of grief. Psalms 119:28 says, my soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to thy word. You know, we can laugh on the outside, but be in pain on the inside. Proverbs 14:13 says, even in laughter, the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. Lamentation says that God causes us grief when we're living after the flesh. Lamentations 1:5. And so God tells us to remove vexation, grief, and anger from our heart, and we can put pain out of our body. It says that in Job, it says, vexation slays. Let me see if I can find that scripture. Vexation will kill you. Job 5:2 says, for vexation slays the foolish man, and anger kills the simple, because vexation also means anger. And any time you let the sun go down on it, it's there, and it might not manifest for 50 years later, but it's there. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool's vexation is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor, which means disgrace or shame. It says, a person who spends his life on worthless pursuits. I want to ask you a question. Is sitting in front of the TV all day long a worthless pursuit? It says a person who spends his life on worthless pursuits will live a life of pain. Ecclesiastes 5:17 says, throughout his life he eats with great vexation and sickness and anger. And it says he's a fool. So God tells us to remove vexation from our heart and put pain out of our body. And so what I want you to do is stand up and ask the Lord to show you what He wants to show you through this message. And Father, pray, if you'll stand up, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. I want you to think about where your pain is. Lord, show me where the vexation is. I ask for the truth that sets me free. In Jesus' name. And so just repent of everything He shows you. And then when you're through repenting, sit down, and then we'll do group deliverance. And this message is not to condemn anybody, because we are all a work in progress. Every one of us. If you even have a thought of being condemned, I'm telling you, that's just pride. Repent. You can sit down when you're through. Father, pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive every person who has touched me in an abusive way, physically, mentally, emotionally, and sexually. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break soul ties with every person who's ever laid an unholy hand on me, or spoken evil word to me, or sexually abused me, or raped me, or caused me mental pain, or broke my heart. I forgive them all. I sever every cord of control, linking their souls to mine. I call back my soul and my human spirit from them. I send back their souls and their human spirits back to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ, and I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut their hands and their body parts off of me in the name of Jesus. I break the power of it in the name of Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, for letting the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me for just hanging in there, going to the world for answers and not seeking your answers to my problem. Forgive me for pride and being wise in my own eyes. Everybody pray. Lord, thank you that you died on the cross for my sickness and my pain, and by your stripes I am healed. Thank you, Lord, that your finished work in Calvary made a provision for my healing. And so I receive healing from you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to remove vexation. Forgive me for vexation, sickness, anger. Forgive me for unbelief and doubt. Forgive me, Lord, for rejecting knowledge, not seeking the knowledge of your word that leads me to repentance. Forgive me for having an Antichrist, Yahweh spirit. Forgive me, Lord, in Jesus' name, for rejecting the truth, being ignorant of the truth. Forgive me for not reading your word, memorizing your word, saturating myself in your word. Forgive me for worthless pursuits, substituting your method of healing for a cheap substitute. Forgive me for putting a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem. Father, forgive me for not being prudent so that I could be crowned with knowledge. Forgive me for not acting with knowledge. Forgive me for not understanding my way. Forgive me for not searching a matter out. Forgive me for not considering my steps. Forgive me for not having a prudent mind that acquires knowledge. Forgive me that my ear has not sought out knowledge. Forgive me for not seeing the evil in hiding myself. Just going on and being simple, foolish, naive, and suffering for it. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me that I haven't had a prospering soul. Forgive me I haven't aligned my thought life with the Word of God. God, I just ask you in Jesus' name to give me a love for your Word, a hunger for your Word, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that a curse cannot light on me without a cause. Thank you that you have the solution. And Lord, you have the answer. God, forgive me for spiritual adultery. Leading others to play the harlot.
Being a spiritual harlot.
Lord, forgive me for wickedness. Holding unforgiveness. Forgive me for thinking I'm too good to be wicked when we've all been wicked. Lord, forgive me for forgetting you, turning aside from your commandments, not obeying or listening to your voice. God, forgive me for idolatry, loving other things more than I love you and your word. Forgive me for being a worldly church member.
Forgive me for being a worldly church member.
Forgive me for rebellion. Forgive me for worshiping the beast. And Lord, I don't want a Philistine spirit. Forgive me for being a wallower. Wallowing in self-pity. Never changing. Being warlike. Forgive me for not having a circumcised heart. Forgive me for being your enemy. Loving the world. You said, if I love the world, I'm an enemy of God. Forgive me, Lord, for being religious, being dedicated, religious, but never changing the inside. Forgive me for just working on the outside to look good to everybody. God, forgive me for worshiping Dagon. I renounce Dagon, Asherah, Ishtar. I renounce Beelzebub. I break soul ties with these demons. I break covenants to these demons, blood covenants, death covenants to these demons. I break it in the name of Jesus. Put it under the blood of Jesus. God, I renounce the Philistines, Dagon. I break soul ties with Dagon. Forgive me for worshiping the beast. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that I will never give allegiance to the beast. Show me all the places where I have idols in my heart where I'm unconsciously worshiping the beast. Lord, I pray you give me strength to stand in these last days of where I'll have to be forced to choose between the beast and between Jesus. And Lord, I want to choose you in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for holding unforgiveness toward people. I've been tormented. In the name of Jesus. Forgive me for vexation that has been slaying me and killing me and causing pain. Forgive me for anger, grief, sorrow, hurt, provocation, and idolatry in the name of Jesus. I remove it from my heart in Jesus' name. I forgive myself for my failures. I forgive the failures of people I love for their not living up to my expectations. I forgive mates that have divorced me. Forgive me for divorce. I forgive my parents for abandoning me. God, in the name of Jesus, I forgive mates for abandoning me. Boyfriends, girlfriends, friends for abandoning me. I forgive my mother and father for not nurturing me, not loving me, not carrying me on their hip. In the name of Jesus, I forgive them that if you had to be the mommy, the daddy, the caretaker of the family, Lord, I take the government off my shoulders, I take the government off my shoulders and I put it on your shoulders, Lord, where it belongs. In the name of Jesus, I release that load. I forgive anyone that's put burdens on my back. God, forgive me for backsliding. Lord, I've been bitter toward my past, bitter toward other people. I break the power of bitterness and arthritis pain. Bitterness, arthritis in the feet and hands, rheumatoid arthritis. Lord, forgive me for hating myself, judging myself, rejecting myself. Self-hatred that's opened me up to rheumatoid arthritis. I forgive my parents for never allowing me to be who you created me to be. Forgive me for, Lord, forgive me for living out someone else's dream rather than what you put me here for. Lord, I thank you that you have a plan for me. Forgive my mother and father for not protecting me. I break soul ties with all these people. I forgive my children for causing me grief. And Lord, forgive me for being bitter toward my children in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just forgive anyone that's caused me grief that would cause my eyes to waste away or my body to waste away because of grief. Lord, I ask you to heal this weeping soul because of grief. Lord, I've been laughing on the outside, but there's been pain in my heart, and I ask you to remove the pain from my heart, Lord. Forgive me for laughter that covers up pain in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for living after the flesh. And now, Lord, I remove vexation from my heart. Grief, sadness, sorrow, hurt, idolatry, because I didn't turn to you in my pain. I turn to you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name, I take accountability for the pain that's come down the generations. Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of grief, vexation, sorrow, anger, provocation, idolatry, and hurt in the name of Jesus. I break generational curses. I put that under the blood of Jesus in Jesus' name. Now, in the name of Jesus, I command pain to leave every person's body in the name of Jesus. I break and rebuke and bind the spirit of pain. I break soul ties with anyone that's put loads on my back. Lord, forgive me for carrying everybody's load. In Jesus' name, I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut those burdens off my back in Jesus' name. I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut away everything, everybody's hands, their private parts, their body, their eyes. In Jesus' name, I cut them from me with the sword of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I come against fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, vexation. I come against hurt. I come against sorrow, provocation, anger, idolatry. I break the power of those demons. I command you to come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name. I command all sorrow of heart to go, broken heart. I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. Worry, anxiety, and don't crush your legs or your arms because that's a picture of real resistance. I don't resist, Lord. We don't want to resist. All the spirits have to leave now in Jesus' name. All spirits of pride, arrogance, boastfulness, haughtiness, I command you to leave now. All Philistine spirits has to go. Ashlecon, Dagon, I command you to go now. Beelzebub, I command you to go. Ishtar, I command you to go now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of prostitution, you have to go in Jesus' name. I break your power. All pain has to go. Vexation, sorrow of heart, you have to leave. I say go now in Jesus' name. I break your power. I command you out in Jesus' name. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed in Jesus' name. I command the pain and sorrow that would cause me to turn to food, the idolatry of food, gluttony, the god of the belly, come out in Jesus' name. I break your power. Our spirits of adultery and fornication, perversion, bestiality, pornography, come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. Impatience, heresy, witchcraft, idolatry, we command you to go now in Jesus' name. We break your power in the depression, sadness, despair, hopelessness, sorrow heart, broken heart, we command you to go now in Jesus' name. All spirits that came in through worthless pursuits, I break your power. All spirits that came in through worshiping the beast, I command the beast to leave in Jesus' name. You know, in Freemasonry, they're building a temple for the beast to sit in. Did you know that? And when you get up to the 32nd degree where the beast comes to reside in the temple, is that the 32nd degree? 33rd degree. They're building a temple for the beast to sit in Freemasonry, because there's the protractor and the compass, you see. They're building it, and when you're a 33 degree Mason, you think you've reached sinless perfection, and the beast comes in to sit in your temple. So, Lord, we break the power of the beast that's come down on us through Freemasonry. We break the power of the beast that would cause us to gnaw our tongues in pain, writhe with pain, the pain of a woman in childbirth. Come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power. We have authority. We declare, Satan, you're not going to blind anybody else's eyes any longer. We have authority over you in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. I command pain to leave our feet, our back, our hands. Arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, I command you to go. In Jesus' name, I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And see, when we have problems with our knees, it's from worshiping. And so what have you worshipped more than Jesus? We command all pain to leave the knees that's come in through worshiping the beast, worshiping something else, worshiping another god. You leave now, all bowing your knee to Baal, all spirits of Baal worship. Come out now in Jesus' name. We break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. As we lift our hands before you as a token of our love, holy, 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 holy. And when you go through things, always ask God what he's trying to teach you, because he's waiting to teach you. He says if you lack wisdom, he'll give it to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control in Jesus' name. I love you, but Jesus loves you more. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.